two of the disciples have now left Jerusalem. They're walking to Emmaus, about 7 miles away. Likely they were going on foot, so this is a journey of at least a few hours. As they are walking, Jesus approaches them, but the text tells us that their eyes were kept from recognizing him. In their continued ignorance, they first tell Jesus about everything that has happened in Jerusalem over the past few days, from Jesus' arrest through Jesus' death, including even the report from the women that Jesus' tomb was empty and that angels had said that Jesus was alive. They even mentioned that some had gone to see the empty tomb but did not encounter Jesus or angels there. This, I think we can assume, is the breaking point for these two disciples, the end of their rope. Imagine their perspective. They have been following Jesus for an unknown amount of time, but not briefly. We don't know where they joined with Jesus and the rest of the disciples, but the fact that they are now leaving Jerusalem suggests that they are heading home, that they have been with the group long enough to have been part of that entry into the city. They have been with the group long enough to have been part of the group to whom the women returned with their report of the empty tomb. These two disciples have likely traveled some distance with Jesus and the rest of the group, and they have left much behind in the process. They came to Jerusalem, and here they assume that Jesus will fulfill the prophecy, that Jesus will redeem Israel. It seems that they are assuming that Jesus will restore David's dynasty, will restore the Israelite monarchy, and with that, the necessary precondition, the expulsion of Rome. But instead, they watch as Jesus is arrested, is tried, and is executed by the very Romans these disciples were expecting Jesus to expel, to defeat. They stay with the group of disciples through the trial, through the crucifixion, but now after the Sabbath has passed, and they can again travel, they have decided they are finished. They're there in the morning when the women come back and suggest that Jesus is in fact alive, that Jesus is not dead but has been raised, and this is now definitely too much for these two men. They were there. They watched Jesus die. Perhaps they even saw the final breath. Perhaps they were among the group who helped to prepare the tomb for Jesus' hasty burial just before sunset and the Sabbath began. They likely now saw a movement that was over, a movement that had become leaderless. They saw Peter and the others locked in a room for fear. And now people are coming with these fantastical stories that Jesus isn't dead. What you just saw did not happen. Jesus has been raised, and now these two have had enough. They are finished with the craziness. They are going home, back to their fishing boats or their farms or their trades or families or whatever it is that they had left behind. It's at this moment that Jesus appears to them, their moment of despair. Jesus appears to them as they have given up and are literally walking away. But they do not recognize him. Jesus engages with him. Jesus asks them what has happened, which is, of course, really asking them what they think has happened. After they give Jesus their account of events, their interpretation of Jesus' final days, Jesus begins to tell them about all the things that they have missed, about all of the things that they have misunderstood, about all of the things that their preconceptions and presuppositions of what the Messiah was to accomplish, their expectations of how it would be accomplished. Jesus tells them all of these things that have led them to this point, to their walking away and failing to recognize Jesus even as he walks alongside them. Like these two disciples, our own preconceptions are powerful things capable of allowing us to create little bubbles of reality around ourselves in which we are only aware of the things that we expect. So often, our expectations and preconceptions lead us to dismiss the truth because it is more comforting to hold on to the same old lies. And so, these disciples, convinced of their own rightness, continue walking alongside a Jesus they cannot recognize. Jesus just keeps walking alongside them. The full 7 miles. To Emmaus. Jesus does not chastise them for leaving. Jesus does not punish their lack of faith. Jesus does not criticize their doubt. Jesus just keeps walking patiently alongside them. When they reach Emmaus, it appears that Jesus is going to keep walking. I like to think this is because Jesus is showing that he is ready to keep walking alongside them, however far it will take. But these two disciples, Cleopas and the other whose name we do not know, are tired and they are hungry, and so they invite Jesus to join them for a meal. And here Jesus reenacts a portion of the Last Supper. Luke repeats the same words. Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. In that moment of sharing the meal, their perception is broadened. They break through the walls that their expectations have built around them, and they recognize Jesus. In that moment of sharing the meal, their hope was restored. And Jesus, with his task with these two disciples accomplished, disappears. These two disciples, filled with wonder, hastily finishing their meal, as tired and hungry as they are, they do not pause in Emmaus even an hour before they get up. And they begin the return journey, setting out the full 7 miles back to Jerusalem, the full 7 miles now uphill, Jerusalem is on a mountain, so that they can share this news with others. They have been freed now from the burden of their preconceptions. They are free of the chains of their expectations, and so they are able to return to the community living in the joy of the resurrection. What must that have felt like? I think we all know the feeling of being trapped by our expectations, or maybe worse, we don't know the feeling because we are so blinded, so trapped by our expectations that we don't even see the pen they build around us. So often we are chained by our preconceptions of what we should be that we fail to see God's calling in our own lives. So often we are bound by these expectations of what other people should be that we fail to recognize the image of God within them, just as these two disciples failed to recognize Jesus as he literally walked alongside them for hours. The joy and promise of the resurrection, the promise of the Easter season in which we still find ourselves, is that we do not have to remain so trapped. We do not have to remain bound. We can at any moment release our fears, release our prejudices, release our expectations, and recognize the wonder of God around us and the image of God in all those in our presence. For that, thanks be to God.